We're on. Welcome back, everybody, to the Unpopular Playground. Tonight, we're going to be talking a little bit about mindfulness. We've already touched on different ways that you can see people for different personalities and things that you might not want to deal with, such as being,
we talked about last week, as far as
toxic people and boundaries.
Right. And the boundaries. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about mindfulness. This is going to be our topic for the month of July. And the first topic, we're briefly going to just touch on this tonight. This is not going to be the full-on conversation that we have when we have Roman with us. He's unable to make it tonight. So the first one we're going to touch on is going to be stress management. Okay, Jen, would you like to take us off on your journey with that one?
Yes, it's always quite a challenge to do stress management because things happen in life. And to be able to handle everything, life has been a juggling. Just all of these things in my head, a million tabs open at the same time, and prioritizing which one comes first. And in my eyes sometimes, and I think in many eyes, we think that everything is important and how to focus. Somebody explained to me that in this juggling game, some of them, the most important ones are your glass balls. Those are the ones that you don't want to drop. Your family, your work life, the things that are most important to you that if they fall apart or if you drop them, it's not so easy to put those back together. So knowing the difference in that, but still it's hard to prioritize which ones are glass and which ones are just clear bouncy balls. And knowing the difference,
I agree,
will help a lot. And it's a struggle because I still think that everything's important and I end up wearing myself out, stressing myself out with all of these things to do. And sometimes we just have to learn the word no.
Exactly. Just boundaries. Like kids say no, just say
boundaries.
No. Exactly. No, I agree with you. And a lot of times we have to realize that sometimes you just have to look at things and say, is this something that I can change by being stressed out over? And yeah. If it's not, it isn't worth it because stress is only going to ruin your health. And you do not want to do that over something that you have no control of. You need to learn when you're starting to feel stressed. Sometimes you need to remove yourself from the situation and take deep breaths, maybe go for a walk, do something to get away from the situation. And when you come back to it in a few minutes, a half an hour, the pictures will seem clearer and you won't be as stressed out.
And I would add that to take care of yourself.
Yes. Yes. That's why.
Protect yourself. It's all over. It's game over no matter what.
Yep. And you also have to learn to recognize what triggers you. And this could be something that somebody does or even something you do sometimes that, you know, you put too much on yourself. You have to have everything done in a certain amount of time. I do this all the time. I can't leave my house until da-da-da-da-da-da, everything's done. But then I give myself like 2 hours and I still can't get it done. If I gave myself 3 hours, I still wouldn't be able to get it done. And I don't know why that is, but it's like I always find other things to do. But it has a lot to do with time management, your own priorities. The whole thing comes down to prioritizing. What is the most important thing to do? And what is the thing that you can't not do at the moment? And that's basically how the coping with stress or talking to somebody. If you really stress out, find a good friend that's going to listen and talk to them. Get it off your chest.
You know, the most interesting thing that I found out, Debbie, was that procrastination, which sometimes adds to our stress, is basically when we find all those other things to do.
Uh-huh.
It's to avoid an uncomfortable feeling.
Yes.
I thought that was really interesting. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
That's profound. Because it's so controlling, because we don't want to feel that feeling of whatever it is. And there's still a lot of things I'm procrastinating on.
Well, I know I went through this when I bought my house here, and I had all these projects that, you know, I knew I was going to do them, but I wanted everything done now. And you can't get everything done now. So I was stressing out because everything is pretty much done. I'd say 97% done now. And I'm in the house now. Yeah. But I wanted everything done now. I didn't want to wait. I didn't, you know.
Or yesterday, even better.
I just was stressing out over it. And everybody was going, but you've been in the house for only 3 months. And look at all the stuff you've gotten done. And it's like, yeah, but I wanted it all done. A lot of type of stress is what you put on yourself, too. So you have to step back and say, am I just stressing over this because I'm crazy or because I'm just impatient? And, you know, sit down and figure out, what is my trigger? Why am I stressing out over this? And how can I help myself and figure this out and not stress so much?
And whose timeline is it on? Is it your personal timeline? Do I really need to get this done because my life is going to be severely altered if I don't get it done? Like, you don't pay your car bill, you don't pay your insurance, you don't pay your lights.
All right.
Those things are going to significantly impact your life.
Yes.
As opposed to, I really want to organize and get rid of all that extra stuff I'm not using in the closet. And if you prioritize that over paying your bill, because both stress you out, that would be maybe an example of a glass ball versus a rubber one. How much is your life going to be significantly altered if you don't do that one thing? That's kind of the way that I've been muddling through, but it's still hard.
I know for kids that are in school, I have a family member that she cannot take tests. The minute that she has to go to school to take a test, she freaks. She knows the answers, but she will just freeze and freak. And it's like, it's just, that's how she is. I used to hate when I was in nursing school. As soon as the test was put on my desk and they tell you, okay, now you can turn it over, I swear my test was written in Chinese. When I looked at it, I would have to sit back, close my eyes and count to 20 and look at it again. Because at that point, I calmed myself down. And then, but I was freaking out because it's like, I am a perfectionist and I want A's. And I wouldn't just settle for anything less. What if I didn't get an A? What if I don't know this stuff? You got to figure out, okay, what can I do so I don't stress out over that? For me, it was like, I just turned around, closed my eyes and trade. And then I went
through. You know, I think another great example I just went through for stress management. I know a particular positions that you go through that you try out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's so stressful that even the training was so intense. And it was my second time going through it. And I thought, gosh, in such a short time to learn so much, I thought my head was going to spin. And then, you know, you don't want to be a quitter.
Yeah.
And so you continue, you try and go through it. I gave it the old college try, but you discover that, oh my gosh, this is really overwhelming. Do I really want this every day I come? And do I want this type of anxiety to be so afraid to go to work to where you feel like you can't do something? I don't think it's a failure. I was a failure. I just can't do this.
Yeah.
But not every job is meant for all people. The place for everything. And when you try something and even try it twice, and still discover, I just don't feel right about it. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It means you discovered that that's not what you want to do. And if you never would have tried it, you never would have known. So there's no failure in that.
You just have your own
limit. If you have so much anxiety and stress over that, don't do it. That's your gut telling you that it's just not for you. And you go find something that is for you, that does make you feel good. Where you're good and your skills and your desire, it should be a match.
You got to find your fit. And the thing is, there's a fit for everybody in life. And everything you do, it doesn't have to be success or failure. They're all lessons learned.
Yes.
So that's how I look at it. You don't pass or fail. I always hated the fact that schools have to give you grades, because I just thought, if you're learning stuff and you're not doing all this testing, maybe kids would pay attention more, because kids hate taking tests. And a lot of kids get freaked out when it comes to taking tests, and they don't do well on that. But yet, they're really good in class when you're talking to them and they have good questions. They know the answers. But when that test paper comes, they just totally freak out, and it's like somebody sucked the brain out of their head. So
I think that they did a change, what is it, reframe it into like maybe performance-based. Can you do it? Because that's the way real life is. If you can't do the job, then you don't belong in it. You know, regardless of what you look like, who you know, you either can do the job or you can't. You either can know the English or you don't. You either can write the paper or you can't. And if you can't, well, then that's the teacher's job to get you there. And sometimes it takes you a little bit longer. But if you decide, well, wow, I can't do that, then that might not be, you know, there'll be something else that you are really good at.
Right. And maybe our next topic we're going to tackle is emotional regulation. Another self-control. Controlling your emotions, your temper.
Yes.
I know you've got a lot to say about this one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, just look at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. That's when I first discovered who the Karen was. I was like, who is this Karen? Look on YouTube. You see these people just freaking out about this and that. If they can't have their way, basically an adult temper tantrum.
Exactly.
If you can't have your way, then you think that getting louder and yelling is going to somehow magically change the law or change the policy. It's because they were never told no, or because they were able to intimidate so many people into doing that. They just, oh, well, this is the way to get what I want. And, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating after dealing with a particular issue and you're not getting the assistance. Like the last episode when you were talking about the pharmacy issue, changing your pharmacy over and just having one excuse after another. You just want to say, oh my gosh, if you see yourself getting triggered, the idea is to be able to respond in a professional way and have all the receipts. You respond, this is this, this is this. This hasn't been taken care of. I need this done now because I've waited too long. When you keep it together, you're taken more seriously and you're more apt to be able to get accomplished the things that you need to get accomplished. Imagine your hand as being the prefrontal cortex. It's right in here. And when you get stressed, it pops open and you flip your lid, and that's when you have your reaction. So the idea is to be able to keep it together, have that self-control, because your prefrontal cortex is here. And when you lose it, it's gone. You can't think, and you just are an emotional basket case.
I totally agree. You have to be mindful of your emotions, and that's taking that deep breath, and rather than fly off the handle, respond in a non-judgmental way. It's easier to get through to people without flying off the handle. The minute you get to the point where you're raising your voice and coming at people, that's when you lose all control of the situation. In these situations, you have to be in control of your emotions, and that's how you're going to get the other parties to hopefully gain control of their emotions. Now, not everybody does that, but that's the only way, because emotions all escalate when a person that is on the receiving end of bad emotions starts reciprocating. Then it becomes a war.
Right.
You just have to learn, just respond nicely. I always say, kill them with kindness, you know? When they don't have anything that they can get mad at you for, because you're just filling them with kindness, then they look kind of silly getting screaming and doing all this other stuff. And then like, oh, okay. But that's my way of, you know, dealing with people with emotions, and then it's like sometimes you do lose your temper.
It's hard to look at that way.
Tough, you know. But
one thing I've always done with my parents over the years, because a lot of people have been upset with me because of this or that, and a lot of times they didn't have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have a conversation
without it
to even begin to clear up a misunderstanding when you're upset. So what I've always said, I put up my boundary and I would say, now's not a good time to talk. Let's come back to this. Let's revisit when you've had some time to think about it.
Yeah.
I cannot talk. If I can't communicate and get through to you because you're upset, this conversation's getting nowhere. So if you continue to yell, I'm going to end this conversation until we can have an adult conversation.
Exactly. Because people will already come to conclusions before you even say, I mean, I've got a family member that's like that. You're on the defense. You're yelling at me. And that is not what I said. And you're just assuming because that's the person you are that I said would say this. But I didn't.
Exactly.
So you have to learn to just don't respond to people in a way that you want to be responded to. That's my whole thing. It's, you know, it just will make everything better. It's going to aid in academic performance and productivity. It's going to aid in relationships. It's going to make your whole life a heck of a lot easier and more happy.
Because sometimes people just, I know with those different types of toxic people, narcissists in particular want to get a reaction out of you. They thrive off of getting a reaction out of you so that they feel that they can have the upper hand. Like, oh, well, look at how unreasonable they are. And see right there, but they'll do things to trigger you. And they know what your buttons are. So you want to definitely keep your boundaries with your knowledge. People don't need to know everything about your life. Don't tell people what triggers you, because they'll use that against you. And that will be another way to be able to keep your control, to emotionally regulate yourself when not everybody knows what your triggers are.
And my thing is, you know, people, when these things occur, sometimes the best thing to do is walk away and say, let's discuss this when we're both calmed down and we can have a nice, peaceful conversation. But right now, not happening. So, see you tomorrow.
Yep. Setting your boundary.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And our last topic on this subject is resilience building. So, start off, give us some feedback on your end with resilience building.
Okay. Resilience building. That was. Resilience is perhaps going to happen in your life. And you just need to learn how to hold on until it's over with, like a little earthquake, and setbacks, hold on to it, and then keep moving on. We don't stop, not do anything just because something bad happened. Everything is going to, wrenches are going to be thrown in the plan. They say, I heard a joke that said, God has a sense of humor, make plans, because something's always going to happen. Just screw it up. I wanted to keep getting back to this podcast, but this and that happens. But you know what? We learn to build things happening into our schedule so that we can still keep going. And that's what we've learned to do. I think this podcast is a perfect example of resilience, because I think everything possible that could have stopped this podcast has gotten in our way, but here we are.
Here we are. You just want to focus and concentrate. That should be pretty much easy for people. I mean, unless you have a medical condition. Now, I have two grandkids that have diagnosed medical conditions, and focus and concentration is not in their wheelhouse. So it's like, it's very hard for them. I'm glad now, although one of them is already out of school and the other one's going to be graduating this year, that they're starting to bring it out more and trying to understand this. But it's hard when people have this obstacle in their way because they can't focus. I'm seeing people, I've talked to them and I'm like, oh, can you hear me? And they're so busy in their own mind or whatever else that they can't focus, they can't concentrate. That's a big problem in today's society because there's a lot of adults that were never diagnosed this way and they
have a hard time with their,
they don't know that how to deal with it. And you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, so now you're dealing with an adult that has this and it can be frustrating, you know, and people are afraid to say, have you ever been diagnosed with blah, 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 blah? And if you say, yes, oh, thank God, now I understand why it's this way.
Yeah. What can affect your job too?
Oh, everything.
If you need to focus and it's important, especially if lives are at stake. Oh. So you want to practice those things. And I think that's why the short form content is more popular now because people's attention spans can't go beyond 30 minutes. Definitely not an hour. I think about an hour is where people tune out. You don't engage them or make it interesting. Believe me, I've been somewhere where 5 minutes can seem like 10 years, depending on who it is. You also have to look at how you come across to people. But we're going to have a lot of tips, a lot of ideas on how to maintain your focus.
Yeah.
And how you can practice making that longer, expanding that concentration a little bit more.
You have to do some exercises to expand your concentration and your focus in that. You know, I mean, I remember when one of my grandkids was little, I'd say something, then I have to like just hold their face and say, now what did I just say? Okay. No. Okay, I'm going to say this again. And I'd hold their face. Repeat
even
that.
Even memory games.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's, but you have to do this, you know, I mean, and they have now, I mean, even for older adults, they have all this stuff that, you know, do puzzles, do this, do that, just to keep your memory sharp. Find the 20 heads in this picture here and, you know.
Where's Waldo?
Yo, God. Somebody ate him.
And they'll run.
Oh, my God.
We're noticing the difference. Just, you know, if you see those pictures, what's different in the picture? All those kind of things can help with your focus and concentration because that's going to help you ultimately. A lot of you are students.
Right.
That's going to help you to be able to, okay, and to be able to think, well, how can I relate these two unrelated things and fuse them together?
Right.
That's ultimately how new ideas come forth. You're taking two different things and fusing them together to bring about new ideas and new ways of thinking. But if you don't spend enough time focusing and concentrating on what's before you, then you're going to have trouble with these other things too. You're not going to be able to. The whole theme is the great escape. How can you set your boundaries? How can you do this? How can you focus on your financial list? We're going to be going through this whole year on different techniques to be able to help you gain your independence so that you can live on your own and start your own family, start your own way of living. And you think, I can't wait till I get grown up so I can do it my way. But then you grow up and you're still living at mommy and daddy's house, or you're still doing this because you don't know what you want. You've not thought about that. You don't even know what you want. You only know basically what you left. And if you don't start thinking about what you want in life now and what you don't want, you're not going to be able to do all these other things. So that's what this whole summer bonus foundational counter is, so that you can have a good foundation to be able to build off of all the other skills that we're going to teach you.
Yeah, you got to know how to get out and be on your own and be able to take care of yourself and be able to handle money and have budgets. You got to learn to survive in this world.
Sadly, a lot of school isn't preparing you.
schools are not preparing you for anything. And you can't be living with mommy and daddy forever.
Have your kids watch. These are some things you can watch too to be able to help your kids.
Yeah.
You can go live your dreams and do your thing. Because you can't do it with babies still under you.
No. And these are mindful skills that we're teaching now, but there's going to be other skills that'll be helpful when you move out. I mean, practical skills as well that they need to learn when they move out, you know, how to take care of themselves.
I've been talking with a lot of professionals that are in the real estate business. They're in all of these industries that they will need to, with loads of great information that they're going to need to know. And they're there and they can give them extra information that's not being given in the schools. I got a great realtor that's already ready to be able to prepare to get a house or an apartment. And I mean, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Just all these little things that we're starting with is all going to build your character so that then you can learn how to, okay, I got to get a job. And people saying, oh, but I don't like doing that. Well, you know what? Nobody likes what they started out doing. But, you know, you do that, then you move on to something better and better and better until you get to the point where you're getting the job that you wanted. If you go to trade schools, you would come out and get a good job in a certain trade, but you'll also move up the scale. And that'll help you to acquire these things a lot faster. Like if you don't
get something,
and you're not going to get anything. I mean, it's just the way it is today. There's just too many people and you have to be better than the next guy in line.
And I think if you're in high school, you're at a little bit more of an advantage because you can use this time now while you're living with mommy and daddy, whatever. You can figure out what you want to do and then figure out the pathway and all the things that you need to check off to get there. Yeah. These are the things that I need to get so that when you are ready to graduate or go into college and graduate college, you are having these things done ahead of time and you're already going to be that much farther ahead. If you're already there and you've not been taught those things, now you know what you need to do to get there. If you're young and in your 20s, you still got time. So by the time you're 30, you're going to be rocking life. And that's our goal.
Focus and concentration will aid your academic performance and productivity. Just remember that.
I think that is all our points now.
That is.
All right. And then when Ramon joins us, he's going to join us to go on a deep dive on each one of the points separately. So looking up that platform right now that Ramon recommended. Soon you'll be able to call or leave a message on that. And we'll have a whole bank of questions that we can answer and make little videos. And we'll give you credit for it, too. And in September, for 3 of the 4 weeks, we're going to go live. And you can ask questions in time for all of these topics. And if you're lucky enough to get some guests to hop on with us, you can ask the experts those questions as well. So it's going to be a lot to look forward to. September is when our official launch season begins, and it'll be streaming across almost all this. I think at least the major platforms, at least 6 of them, I think.
So keep staying curious. Keep listening. And get your friends involved.
Comment. Add to the discussion, hit that notification bell, and share it with your friends. Yes, and as Ramon would say, since he's not here, he likes to say, keep shining.
Keep shining. Subscribe.
All right. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.